Well, please turn in your Bibles with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and we'll read those opening verses of this chapter together. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, we just sang the hymn that in so many ways, preach this passage to us. So in many ways, a lot of things that we need to meditate on have been said in song already, and we'll take time to consider more from this glorious portion together with the Lord's help. But let us read from verse 1 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Let us hear the word of God. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Amen. Ending our reading there. Trust the Lord to bless His word to all of our hearts. And let us just ask for His help as we come to hear from Him. Our Father, we do come again just asking for the help of the Spirit of God as we seek to meditate on Christ, as we seek to lift up our eyes heavenward and set our affections on the things above. We pray, O God, that you will bless thy word to thy people. O Lord, we do thank thee for each one gathered here. We do thank thee for each one that may be listening online. And O Lord, we do believe most of us here know the Lord. But if there just is one person, even here or watching online, that does not know Christ, we pray, O Lord, that you would be pleased to move upon them even this evening and bring them to a true saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, use thy word to edify thy saints. Please help us. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and grant me help to preach Christ, and grant us all help to hear Christ preached. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're coming to really verses 4 through 7 tonight. This is really all one parable. The majority of the chapter, that is, the lost sheep, the lost talent, or the lost piece of silver, and the prodigal son, they really all go together, and they really all illustrate the same truth, that our Lord receives sinners. But the thing to note here, really the thing that I think is the most heart-stirring aspect of this, is in regards to what Christ is doing when he speaks this parable. As we read, you know, the publicans and the sinners, the lot, as it were, of the outcasts of society, those whom the Pharisees and the scribes reject simply because of who they are. And you know that the Pharisees and the scribes, they don't see their own hypocrisy. They don't see themselves as sinners like these other people. And they don't see themselves in need of repentance. Well, what Christ is doing here then, as he comes to speak this parable, is he's giving this illustration, really, of his loving and victorious pursuit of sinners. You see, they accuse him, in verse 2, of being one who receives sinners. They say, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And our Lord not only doesn't deny that he receives sinners, but he takes it further when he gives these parables He's really saying, not only do I receive sinners, I go after sinners. I go after the outcasts. I go after those who are lost. I go after those who are lost in their sin and hopelessly in darkness with no light. He takes what they say further. He receives and he redeems sinners. He goes after them. And that's what these all really illustrate. Christ's reception and pursuit of sinners. And that to me is a very heart-stirring reality. As Christ really sets before us here, what I want to preach to you about tonight, a loving shepherd and a lost sheep. A loving shepherd and a lost sheep. We should not lose sight of the glorious reality that he is communicating. It seems so simple. And as believers in Christ, saved a long time or even saved relatively briefly, we can lose sight of such a glorious reality. That this man receives sinners. And you think about the man referred to. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the man who knew no sin. He's the man who is more than a man. He is the Son of God. He is sinless, spotless, perfected holiness. And yet, this man receives people like you and like me. And not only does he receive them, he pursues them. He subdues them to himself as the King of glory. And so, as we think upon this tonight, I want you to keep that in mind the entire time. A loving shepherd and a lost sheep. And the first point I want us to consider then is the shepherd's love for his sheep. The shepherd's love for his sheep. Note what he says when he begins this parable in verse 3. This parable he spake unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Until he find it. In other words, and I should say before we go into all of this, you know that parables are often subject to so much allegorization and people get carried away with pictures and images, and I trust I will not be guilty of that tonight, but will say simply what is there and what our Lord is communicating. And having said that, he is obviously communicating his love. That's very obvious from what you see. He is bringing it down to the level of the people he's speaking to, and which is good for us because we need that, I need that. And he simply draws a comparison. Who of you, if you have 100 sheep and you lose one, will not leave them and go after that one that is lost? And what he's saying there is he's communicating his love. The shepherd's love for his sheep. Well, as we think about that, what is he really communicating here about that love for his sheep? Well, note that it's a particular love. It is particular love that he is highlighting here. It is particular love because he says if he lose one of them, he has 100 sheep and he loses one of them, will he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? That is a particular love for that one sheep. Now what that tells us, brothers and sisters, is a very simple truth that you are well aware of, I trust. But Christ loves all of his people in particular. He loves his church, the church that he has bought with his precious blood. And yet, there is a particular love for each and every individual in his church. There's a particular love then for you. There's a particular love for you in spite of you going astray, in spite of you being a lost sheep, in spite of you going against the Lord at some point in your life. You were born in iniquity and sin, never wanting anything to do with Christ, and yet, because you were his sheep from before the foundation of the world, chosen, he has a particular love for you. But note that this particular love, it is primarily regarding its object, which, as I said, is one of his sheep. It's regarding his object. What did our Lord say in John 10:14, which really gives us the most help as we think about our Lord Jesus Christ as the great shepherd? He says, "I know my sheep by name." There's not one name of God's people that Christ does not know. Now that is astounding. That each and every individual, he knows their name. And he knows every single thing about them. He knows every time that they have sinned against him. He knows every single wrong emotion, wrong thought, wrong action, wrong word. And yet, he has a particular love for each and every one of his people. But also, this particular love, it's not just stated, it's revealed by his care for his sheep. It's revealed by his care for his sheep. It's not just something that Christ simply states, it's something that he demonstrates, something that he displays. And we're given this picture here of a shepherd. And what does a shepherd do? Well, a shepherd does a lot of things. And though I have not much personal experience with shepherding, as far as shepherding sheep, you do know of several things that a shepherd does from the scriptures themselves. He protects the sheep. That's one of the things he does. He leads them into green pastures, leads them beside still waters. He takes care of them. He nurtures them. He looks out for them. You think of what David said to King Saul in 1 Samuel 17. He says, rather, Saul says to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And what does David say? He highlights to us this aspect of shepherding. Verse 34, "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." Now that's an exciting portion of Scripture to me, because it's really a type of what our Lord Jesus Christ does for you and for me. He goes after us whenever we are sought to be taken by the enemy. When one of his sheep is taken from the flock, when one of his sheep is being attacked by the enemy, he doesn't just leave them. He goes after them. He pursues them. When they go astray on their own, he goes after them. He shows his care. Now you would think, just as we continue to think about that for a moment, you would think that you would recognize that, that we sinners would recognize that, the loving care of the great shepherd, and we would never want to go astray from that shepherd. That we would never want to in any way get any distance between us and the shepherd. And yet, what does Isaiah say? "All we, like lost sheep, have gone astray." And that's because of the nature of what a sheep is like. Sheep simply would walk off a cliff if they were not guarded. Our Lord cares for all of his sheep, regardless of our lack of care for ourselves. So it is particular love, this shepherd's love for his sheep. But note also in Luke 15:4, it is determined love. It is determined love. Because note that this sheep goes astray, and he says he will leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. Until he find it. Now that communicates a simple truth to us, that Christ, as the great shepherd, is determined to bring in his sheep. That he will not lose one of his sheep. That he is determined to go all the way, wherever they've gone, to the deepest valleys, to the darkest ditches, to the most dangerous places, he will go and he will rescue his sheep. It's a determined love. So he's determined, as you see in the text, to find his sheep. That's how his determined love is displayed. He's determined to find it. And the thing that's interesting here to note regarding him finding it, as we think about what the truth the parable represents, is how does our Lord always know where to find his sheep? Because he always knows exactly where they are. Because he himself is God Almighty. So he's omniscient. He knows all things. He sees all things. And he knows always exactly where his sheep are. So he doesn't have to wonder where any one of his sheep scattered throughout the world is at any given time. He knows where the ones that he's already brought in, he knows where they are, he knows where you are right now in this place, and he knows where the ones that he hasn't yet brought in are. So he knows exactly where to find it, and he's determined to find it. But note also that he's determined to rescue it. It's not just that he's determined to find it. You know, an earthly shepherd might go and look for his lost sheep, and he might see it, and maybe it's surrounded by wolves, or maybe it's in some awful snare or trap, and that earthly shepherd might say, you know what, I'm just not going to bother with that sheep this time. But that's not what our Lord does. He's not only determined to find the lost sheep, he's determined to rescue the lost sheep. Now, again, what does that communicate to us? But that our Lord has no intention when he finds his sheep of leaving it there, but is entirely, perfectly capable and able to rescue his sheep no matter where that sheep is. Now that's important because you know and I know that there are various sinners that you can think of that are in some very dark places. And you might think, I don't see how they would ever get out of that. I don't see how they could ever be brought out of such a dark place. And yet, if they are Christ's sheep, he is able and he will bring them to himself. His love is determined, and he will leave no sheep out of his flock. Isn't that what he tells us in John 10? What does he say regarding the hireling in John 10, 11? He says of himself, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. But our Lord is the opposite. He's the good shepherd, the determined shepherd, the loving shepherd who cares for his sheep. Now, departing somewhat from the specific language of the parable, we know what our Lord had to go through in order to rescue his sheep. That he was determined, because of this love that he has for the sheep, he was so determined to rescue them that he goes as far as to lay down his own life for the sheep. And you and I, we're not animals. We're made in the image of God, so we don't want to draw the parallel too much and try to say that we're worthless like animals. But at the same time, we're just mere creatures. A sinner is nothing more than a creature in one sense. Yes, a creature made in the image of God with value because God's created them that way, but a creature nonetheless. And yet the eternal Son of God, he who knew no sin, became sin for us, who knew no righteousness. that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. This good shepherd, this one who's determined by His love to find and rescue His sheep, where does He find them? He finds them in sin. He finds them held in the chambers of divine justice, unable to deliver themselves. And what does He do? He giveth His life for the sheep. Even as we read this morning, He gave Himself, offered Himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice on the behalf of all of His people, to deal with your sin, to deal with my sin, that we could be eternally with Him. It is determined love. And you see, even in the very language of verse 5, not only our Lord's communicating here His knowledge of where the sheep is and His determination to rescue that sheep, even to the point of taking His sinless life and dying upon the cross for the sheep, for the sinner, that is. But note even what is highlighted in verse 5. When He hath found it, He layeth it on His shoulders, rejoicing. He layeth it on His shoulders. Now again, I don't want to stretch this too far, but how can you not see the sovereignty of God in salvation from that? That when Christ, He finds His sheep, the sheep is content to be lost. The sheep went astray from the flock. That's what the sinner did. That's what Adam did. That's what you and I did in Adam and have been doing ever since. And yet when our Lord finds His sheep, He lays the sheep upon His shoulders and brings Him back. That communicates sovereignty to some degree. And if I am taking license with that, well, you forgive me. But it warms my heart to think of the sovereignty of my Christ in subduing me to Himself, though I was going astray, though you were going astray. The shepherd's love for his sheep, that's what I'd have you to note first. But secondly, note with me, the shepherd's journey to find his sheep. The shepherd's journey to find his sheep. That's sort of in the midst of verse 4 and 5. It simply says that he goes in the wilderness after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it. Note also it doesn't say if he finds it. It says when he hath found it. Something else to note regarding the sovereignty of God, I believe. But his journey. What was his journey like to find this lost sheep? What was Christ's journey like to find this lost sinner and to bring him back with him? Well, note that it is a difficult journey that Christ undertook. You see that in the very nature of the language and where this takes place as far as the context. They're in the wilderness. Now, he leaves the 90 and 9. That's in the parabolic language there. They're in a place that is obviously safe, otherwise a shepherd would not leave them. But they're in the wilderness. That's the point. They're in a land that is desert, in a place where to go astray, to go after some lost sheep wherever it's gone until you find it would be very dangerous. It would be very difficult. It could mean death for the shepherd. And indeed, as we've already noted, it did mean death for our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, it is a difficult journey due to where the sheep is in the wilderness, but also due to what the sheep is. And we've already noted that something of what sheep are like. But just to illustrate further, I remember speaking with someone about sheep one time, someone who had newly become acquainted with sheep on their farm. And we were talking about this very thing, how the Lord compares us to sheep, and how that's a humbling comparison because sheep are not very intelligent animals. And I suppose that can be very comforting for some of us, myself included. But this gentleman was saying that he had noticed with this one sheep in particular, every day he comes home from work, and this sheep has made its way out of the fence and ended up in this barbed wire tangle mess of an old fence. And each day, this brother would go and he would have to untangle that sheep out of that barbed wire. He'd have to take him and he'd have to clip and pull him out and take him back. And yet every day the sheep does the same thing. He the very next day, it's the same story, as it were. And what a spiritual truth that communicates to us in terms of our Lord comparing us to sheep. And that's part of the difficulty of the journey for the shepherd, is what a sheep is, what a sheep does. A sheep will find, so they're in the wilderness, and a sheep will find the worst place in the wilderness. And that's what sinners do. Not all of us to the same degree, but that's what sinners do. Sinners find, a lot of them, tend to find the worst place in the world to be. But yet Christ goes and rescues them even from that place. So it's a difficult journey due to where the sheep are, where the sheep is, and due to what the sheep is. But note also, regarding the journey, that it is a successful journey. It is a successful journey. Because in verse 5, when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth his friends together. He calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. It is a successful journey. Every single sinner, I don't tire in saying this because it is such a crucial thing to remember. Every single sinner, every lost sinner that Christ has died to save, he will bring into his flock. It is a successful journey due to the shepherd, not due to the sheep. That's why it's a successful journey. It's entirely due to the shepherd. He goes after the sheep, he finds it, he rescues it, lays it on his shoulders and brings it back. The sheep, notice, doesn't do anything except get themselves in the trouble to start with. And that's the sinner. That's what the sinner does. And yet, our Lord is so gracious and so loving that he comes to seek and to save that which is lost. And does it. There's no failed mission with Christ. No sinner that will ever escape the boundaries of his mercy, if they are his. And you know, it's just an interesting thing to note in regards to a sheep and a sinner. They're both more willing to be lost than to be found. And I'm sure you can relate to that as I can. You are more willing to be lost than you were to be found until Christ revealed himself to you. And it's the same for the people you pray for. It's the same for the lost sinners that are on your mind, on your heart tonight. They're more willing to be lost than they are to be saved. And so they need all the more prayer. But it is a successful journey. And the third thing, and the final thing here, is the shepherd's joy over his sheep. The shepherd's love for his sheep, the shepherd's journey to find his sheep, and the shepherd's joy over his sheep. Now, this, I believe, should encourage us tonight. If somebody watching online is lost, I trust the Lord will bless this to you. Someone here is lost. Trust the Lord will bless this to you. As you think about the shepherd's joy over his sheep, consider with me the picture given here, the picture given. In verses 6 and 7, we're given a very clear picture of the point of what our Lord is making, or the point that our Lord is making. In verse 6, "When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And then our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth." Over one sinner that repenteth. So he draws this parallel from the picture given. And what are the two things that he communicates in this picture? Well, there's a lasting victory communicated. Note that in verse 6, he calleth his friends together, rejoice with me, I found my sheep which was lost. And he says the same thing will happen in heaven when one sinner repents. It's a lasting victory that our Lord is communicating. When the sheep is found, when the sinner is saved, they're never going to be lost again. That's the point that our Lord is making. I trust you can see that it's not as if there's going to be a letdown in heaven. When this one sinner repents, truly comes to faith in Christ, it's a lasting victory for the King of Glory. And there's not going to be any letdown, as it were. It's a lasting victory. But even more significant and even more incomprehensible in this picture given is the increased joy that our Lord says there is in heaven. So the shepherd comes, who is Christ. It's very significant to note that. The shepherd coming saying, rejoice with me. So Christ in heaven says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And he says that in heaven, joy. There will be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Now, the incomprehensible thing communicated there. And I say incomprehensible because heaven seems to be this place communicated in the Scriptures of perfect joy. There's no sin in heaven. It's perfect joy all the time, it would seem. And yet our Lord says that there'll be this increase of joy when one sinner repents. Now, I can't wrap my mind around that, but I rejoice in it because what it communicates to us is that there's a true joy in our Lord and in the angels of heaven and in all the saints of God that are in heaven. There's this increase of joy when a sinner comes to faith in Christ. So it's something to be desired then. And it's something that we should then expect. Because if heaven desires it, if God's delight is for sinners to repent and for there to be joy in heaven over their repentance, then you and I can be sure that the Lord is going to do that work. And so that's the picture given, but here we come to see what is the point to all people. As we think about the shepherd's joy over his sheep, you have this picture given. Well, then what is the point to all people? Because that's why he's telling this parable. He speaks this parable to two groups of people, I would argue. From verse 1, you note that the publicans and sinners have drawn near to hear him. And then the Pharisees and the scribes are also present hearing him. And so he's communicating to two groups of people. And what does he say? At the end of verse 7, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Which need no repentance. Now, that verse has been subject to some very weird interpretations, and not to get into all of them. But the plain meaning, I believe, is in regards to the Pharisees themselves. When he says, which need no repentance, our Lord is, as it were, calling out their hypocrisy. There's no such thing as a person apart from Christ that doesn't need repentance. And so as we understand that from the greater context of the Bible, our Lord's not saying that there are these people who don't need repentance. What He's really highlighting is their hypocrisy. And so what that teaches us, the point of the parable to all these people that our Lord is speaking to, is simply, number one, that Christ receives and rescues sinners. That's the plain point. And that is obvious to you, I know. But again, it's something to rejoice in. Because as Christ receives and rescues sinners, that means sinners should repent and believe on Christ. Because it means that if He receives and rescues them, then there's no boundary to you coming to Him. There's no boundary for any sinner out there to think that, well, He does that for others, but He doesn't do it for me. Or He won't do it for me. I'm too far gone. And you realize there are people out there like that. They have been deceived by the devil, or they're deceiving themselves into thinking that they are just too far out for the Lord to save them. And yet, what this parable teaches us is our Lord's willingness. He's more willing to save any sinner than they are to be saved. And that's what this teaches us. That's the point to all people. But the last thing I'd have you note here is there is a specific point here to be made to God's people. There's a point to all people, but there's a point to God's people. Because this is in God's book for His people. And no doubt the disciples are present with our Lord, hearing this as well, and they know the Lord. And so they have repented to follow Christ. And so what is the point of this parable to God's people? Well, I would say there's two things to take away. There's motivation to point sinners to Christ from this parable. Because as we see our Lord's willingness to receive them and to rescue them, then we should never, ever, ever doubt His willingness when we point a sinner to Him. We should be motivated, rather. And we should have expectation when pointing sinners to Christ. And I take time to point this out, particularly for us, not because of us in our specific congregation. This isn't really a problem as far as I know, at least for the majority of you. But it's a trap that we can easily fall into in Reformed circles, where the sovereignty of God is emphasized, where there can sometimes be this tendency to be uncertain about preaching the free offer of the gospel to sinners. And yet right here, we are given an explicit example of the willingness of our Lord to receive all sinners that are pointed to Him, all sinners that will come to Him. He will rejoice in any sinner that will repent. And we know that no sinner will come to Him except they are brought by God. And yet, there is motivation here to point sinners to Christ. And then there is expectation to be had when pointing them to Christ. Because sometimes we can do that. Sometimes we can witness to someone because we know that we should. But there's really no expectation there that this person's actually going to come to know the Lord. I'm not saying that's true with each of you. I'm just saying that's a temptation that we face, to just sort of go through the motions and not expect the Lord to work in a life. And yet, I say to you from this parable, from this example of that our Lord has given, we should be motivated to point sinners to Christ and expect something to be done when we point them to Christ. Doesn't mean they're always going to come. But the Lord makes no mistakes with those whom we encounter. There's no accidental meeting. And so if the Lord's brought someone in your path, there's really two things. It's either to harden them or to save them. You can be sure of either one of those. And so It is, as I say, a joyous thing to consider that our Lord's joy is increased when a sinner repents. If that is true for Him, then, brothers and sisters, that needs to be true for us. We need the Lord to help us to be motivated and to expect sinners to come to Him and then be full of joy when we see them come. Well, we'll close just with simple questions. Are you His sheep? Are you His sheep? Jesus says that He knows His sheep, that His sheep know His voice, and they follow Him. And so I end here, making no assumptions about anybody here. Are you His sheep? Have you heard, and are you following? Now I say that, and the temptation is, well, I don't follow Him perfectly. Well, are you following Him as a sheep? Because that's the picture we're given. And that's how the Lord's people follow Him. They follow as sheep. They make mistakes. But you're following Him. And that's the point. You know His voice. You've heard His voice. And you follow Him. Albeit as a sheep. But the other thing to ask, if you're online or you're here and you haven't heard and you're not following, are you hearing now? And are you willing to follow Him? That's the question you need to ask. Are you hearing His voice? Because He's calling to you through His Word. That's how He works. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so you have to ask yourself, are you hearing and will you follow? Because He will receive. There's no hesitancy in our Lord to receive sinners. Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. May the Lord open your eyes. May the Lord bless His Word to all of our hearts tonight and throughout this week. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank Thee for the Word of the living God, and we do pray Thy blessing upon it to our souls. O Lord, will You attend Thy people in each and every endeavor they have this week. Lord, You know all the things that attend our schedule. You know the works of each person here. You know their places of employment. You know their tasks that they have for the week. Lord, we just pray that in everything, You would help us to be Thy witnesses. You would help us to be ambassadors for Christ. Oh Lord, help us all. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Bless us with power to serve Thee, power to persevere in this world, assurance that we are Thine. And Lord, we pray that if there is one lost sinner listening, that You will be pleased to move upon their soul. Lord, shall we not expect it? We beg Thee, have mercy, and bless Thy Word, we pray. Do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we've asked or thought. In Jesus' name, amen.